when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Welcome to Curious Conversations with Tully and Sarah. We sit down and chat with business owners, entrepreneurs, and some of the best conversation starters. This is a podcast about real life lessons and people doing cool shit. Welcome back to Curious Conversations.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday or whatever day you listen to this. You guys know the spiel. But we have another bulk recorded episode for you guys today. Who do we have on?
Patrice Douglas.
We do.
I enjoy having our friends on.
It was really good. I feel like every time we have a friend on, they open up a little bit and you're like, oh, I didn't know that about you.
And I was like, at one stage, I was like, are we going to get emotional here? I wasn't too sure where it was going. But with our episodes, I really appreciate these conversations which bring people's life stories to life.
Yeah, and originally we wanted Patrice on because she does she launched a business. It's a skincare business called Ophia, which is a hyaluronic brightening serum.
Well, that's one of the products. There's going to be many products.
But yeah, but that's predominantly what we had know her for at the moment. And we wanted her on to talk about that, mum life, balancing everything. But yes, it ended up coming out to, you know, a bit more of a personal story, which I love listening to episodes when people open up about their personal stories. I find it captivating and inspiring. So that kind of happened today.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed the conversation and I hope you did too.
Yes, I loved it and I appreciate Patrice for coming on. I know you were a little bit nervous, but I was like, it's fine. You're just talking to Sarah and I. It's fine. But she was great. And if you want to follow Patrice, head to her Instagram, Patrice Douglas. Is that her Instagram, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And Ophia, if you're interested in trying a new skincare brand.
Enjoy.
Ciao.
Patrice.
Hi.
Welcome to Curious Conversations.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, you're one of our big listeners.
I'm like such a
weekly
big fan.
Listener.
Yes.
And now you're on.
I know. And I listen to this religiously every Friday when I clean the house. It's like a therapeutic thing that I do. And yeah, long time listener.
And now, you're in the hot seat.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I know exactly when you listen to our podcast, it's a Friday when you clean. We love that.
I know. It's very, for me, it's like I'm very big on routine and very big on, you know, knowing that what's happening the next day. And for me, I honestly look forward to it every Thursday. I'm like, I know I'm going to be catching up with Tully and Sarah. But I'm not actually catching up with you guys.
But it feels like we are. It's like we're a conversation. But
it is.
We did this intro like three times. Like, oh, I've got to start again. But I love having friends on the podcast. Yeah. And Patrice is one of our friends. You're also a business owner, a mom, and we'll dive into that later.
Yep.
But can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I guess for people that haven't met me, so I don't know where to start. This is in no immediate order. This is just who I am. I feel like there's a few things to mention.
Yeah.
So I guess first and foremost, I'm a mum. So I've got a beautiful three-year-old daughter, Sophia. And then I also have a brand called Ophia Skin. So we launched that in 2022 and that's been my life for the past couple of years. Part-time corporate girly. So still doing the corporate thing.
I was just about to say
doing it. Still juggling.
And do you still enjoy it?
I do.
Yeah.
And honestly, if I didn't enjoy it, it's not something that I would continue.
Okay.
Because it's not as necessary as it used to be.
Yeah.
But it's something that I genuinely like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, it is a safety net.
Yeah.
Because starting your own business is scary. And so for me, having that in the back of my mind that I've still got that there, it does give me some, you know, peace of mind, I guess. But, you know, it's something that I'm probably going to have to think about peeling back, I think, just for mental health and just for, you know.
Starting your own business is scary.
Yeah.
What made you jump into the skincare?
it's just something that I've always loved.
Yeah.
And so something that I've always felt genuinely passionate about. And I always said, I always wanted to start a business of some sort. I never knew if it was going to be product-based or service-based or whatever it would be. But I always knew that there was something else outside of what I was doing that I could pour some creativity into and that I would feel really great about doing. So I knew I was going to do something, but this was the area, wellness, skincare, beauty, that I genuinely love.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt very authentic to me.
Yeah.
So that's why I decided to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you started a business, it went back when you were pregnant with Sophia, is that right?
Correct.
Were you struggling with skin problems or skin issues at the time?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I was lumped with every type of skin issue that you could probably have. I had dry flaking skin. I had melasma, what you would call the, what they call the mask of pregnancy, which is like goggles of hyperpigmentation. Oh. So it's a lot of it's hormonal, but, you know, it can be helped with skincare as well. Okay. So I had... I had irritated skin. I have rosacea, which was sort of underlying, and then it flared up when I was pregnant. So you name it, and I probably had it when I was pregnant. So it felt very organic to start a skincare brand.
And nothing was working for you or what?
Well, things were stinging my skin. I was highly irritated because when your skin's so inflamed, doing less sometimes is better.
Yeah.
And so at that point I had everything going on. And so I was doing only, using only skincare that was very soothing and hydrating,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have a brand at this point. So I was really, you know, looking into my trove of skincare that I had and looking at ingredients and other skincare and, you know, shopping around a lot to help it. Yeah.
When was the moment when you were dealing with that, the skin issues, knowing you kind of wanted to start a business, when was the moment that you were like, ding, 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 I think I need to create a skincare brand.
Yeah. So when, I guess I'll take you back to when I started it.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty tumultuous time, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
The world was going through a huge change. So it was March 2020. Mm-hmm. So I had just found out I was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
The pandemic was hitting. Of course, that's a great time to start a business.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I know. But I think, honestly, I had a lot of downtime because I was on bed rest mm-hmm. during my pregnancy. I had a bit of a high-risk pregnancy. So I had a lot of time to be just – we were in lockdown. We weren't doing a great deal. And so I had a lot of time to think about, like, where –
You had bed rest the whole pregnancy?
It was for about 5 months.
Mm. Oh, my –
So, yeah, wow. From 13 weeks. Yeah. But you were, but I didn't really post about it or talk about it.
I knew about it recently when Patrice called me. Yeah. Let's talk about – the same thing Martha
maybe
had.
Maybe we'll talk, if we talk about that, that might explain the why I started the business as
well.
But it's up there.
Yeah, what, the same thing Martha had, which was that hyper...
No, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I did hear about that. So that's more morning sickness related, I believe. Well, I actually had no morning sickness.
Yeah.
I know, Tully, you've suffered with that. I feel really bad that you've been through that. But I...
She's fine, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm fine now.
You're fine now? You're out of that?
Just spew every morning. It's fine.
Yeah, oh yeah, great. That's just part of your day.
Yeah, just add it on.
Yeah, just add it on. No, so I had a cervical issue. So I had part of my cervix removed, so which meant that I had to get a stitch done, a cervical stitch at 13 weeks to essentially hold the pregnancy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I had a bit of a rough trot leading up to getting pregnant where I had some abnormality in my cells, which was a huge surprise. I'm not sure how much you want me to go into that. I can go into that.
I love
though.
All juicy stuff. Like,
yeah, no, I think so. Yeah.
I think it might be helpful to talk about because it's not anything I've ever talked about.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It was, you literally only spoke to me about it 2 months ago and I was like, oh my God, Patrice, I have no idea.
And I think honestly, I was a little bit traumatized by that experience. And so I think I'm only ready to talk about it now. You know, I've got a three-year-old now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. And now I feel like I feel comfortable talking about it. But I think when I was in it, talking about it felt like too much because I was trying to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talking on top of that
for me. You still had feelings there that you weren't ready to deal with.
No. And talking about something that sensitive, you want to make sure you're talking about it in the right way because it could, you don't know who you're talking to. You could have someone that's dealing with something even worse or someone that's dealing with that exact situation and you're not educated enough to really give advice on it. So anyway, long story short, long story long, depends what you want. But I'll take it back to when I found out that I had the issue. So it was a week from going on my honeymoon. So the only thing I was thinking about this time was, like, how many bikinis am I bringing on this holiday? And, you know, do I need to get a tan the day before I leave or like 2 days before I leave?
How old were you?
At that age, I was 30.
Okay. 30. So you guys got married just before the pandemic then?
Yeah, 2019. Yeah, so we went on our honeymoon September 2019.
Okay.
Which was a blessing because when you think about the timing of it. But so yeah, at that time, there was no pandemic. It was just, you know, 2019, we were all like living our best life.
Best life.
Best year ever.
I definitely was. I was, you know, freshly married, going on my honeymoon. That's all I was thinking about. And then I met with a doctor because I just thought, you know, I'll just get a few checks done. We're probably, if we fall pregnant on this trip, that's fantastic. But we weren't planning, but I thought just to be safe, like let's get a few blood tests. Let's just check everything's in order. And I went to get the blood test done and then she said, why don't you just pop up and get a pap smear? Why don't you just jump up? And I said, I don't think I need to. I got one 18 months ago. And at that time, the laws have changed, but at that time it was every 2 years they were saying you should get a pap smear every 2 years for cervical screening. And so I was, you know, conscious of the fact, oh, I'm so close to that. I should be right. I should be fine. You know, just let's just skip that. I'm only thinking about my tan I'm going to after this, my spray tan. And that's it. And she said, no, just jump up, honestly, just do it. And that's when everything happened. So I got the pap smear and it takes its time to come back. But for me, it was very quick. So it was very, very quick. So she called me at 8 o'clock at night. I remember, I'll never forget when a doctor calls you at 8 o'clock
it's
at night.
It's not nice.
It wasn't nice. And I remember her saying to me, you're going to have to come in the next day and we have to check because we can see something there. Anyway, I went in, had the checks done and they found out that I had, there's different grades of abnormality with your cells. There's like SYN 1, SYN 2, SYN 3 and I was the next level up, which is severe. And this, keep in mind, this happened in an 18-month period.
Wow.
So
the rapid movement of
rapid changes in the cells. And what scares me is the new legislation is every 5 years.
Yeah.
And I think they have reasons for that because it's a bit more, the testing they do now is a little bit more in depth.
Did you have the vaccination at school?
So, no.
Okay.
So I didn't.
Oh.
And it was only recently that I remembered this. And I asked my mum, I said, did I have the vaccination? And she said, you actually were very sick. Oh. So I had, I think I had like pharyngitis or some sort of like chest infection. And I didn't go into school. And so when they were doing the shots, I actually didn't get it.
What was the shot? It was like started with G.
I can't remember.
It just came out when we were at the end stages of high school.
You had to get
school.
Like two or three of them or something. Yeah. I remember.
And I
were there two or three of them? I didn't know.
Yeah, there was a couple. Oh, okay. You had to have like one, like maybe 6 months apart.
Right. Yeah, right. So for whatever reason, I didn't get either. I can't remember if I got one or not enough.
Yeah.
But I just I remember I was sick when they were all in the big hall at school getting them and I wasn't there. Now, I know that you still have to get checks regardless.
Yes.
I happen to be that girl. But, yeah, I guess for me, I would have never had that pap smear. There's no way.
Yeah.
I would have
Everything
never.
Happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
So immediately it was like I wasn't thinking about spray tans.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking about pregnancy. I was just like, what is happening? And mind you, I was leaving my honeymoon in a week. So I was like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, this is obviously taking priority. And then it was a snowball. And then eventually they worked out that the cells were so, I guess, developed or changed that it was I needed to go in for surgery and have part of my cervix removed instead of I think they burn off
laser
the cell,
it
laser
something.
It off. Yeah. I was beyond that point.
Shit.
And so that's what then when I got back from my honeymoon, I had the surgery and they removed it. And then that meant that every pregnancy I have moving forward will be high risk in nature because I'll have to sort of support it with a stitch.
Mm-hmm. So you know moving forward?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I know that moving forward it will be exactly the same pregnancy to a point. I know the process now.
Yeah.
So it's and it was a challenging pregnancy because I wasn't mobile and I am a very active person. I really like getting out and about. I really like to keep busy. This was very much legs up. Yeah.
An opportune time to be legs up. I mean, the rest of the world was at home.
Yeah.
I think it would be very
different
and
I know.
Now the world being open.
Yeah.
Say if you're home for 8 months, I think it would be really challenging.
And also having a child yourself as well, that's hard.
I think about that. I do think about that because I had the luxury of, in if you want to call it
selfish,
luxury, of just being,
yourself.
You know, I was watching Housewives of everything at that point. I think I'd run out at that point. And I was just watching everything I could. And anyway, so that that, I guess, leads us to starting the business.
Yeah.
Because that's what I had a lot of time. Mm. You know, I was really just me without a kid, just laying there thinking about, you know, what really makes me happy, who makes me happy. I think everyone was doing that.
Yeah.
You know,
reflecting.
And honestly, I thought if I can get through this, I can really do anything.
Yeah.
Like if I can grow a child and I can birth a healthy child, I can literally do
anything. Fuck yes.
So I think that was my mentality. And I thought about like, why didn't I do this when I was younger or when I was in my early 20s? Because I, you know, I see, sometimes I see young, what I think is young 23-year-olds starting business and I'm like, go you, that's so cool. Like, why didn't I do that? Mm-hmm. But I don't think I was ready.
Probably.
Yeah,
it's
I agree.
It's a fearful, it's a fear, like starting a business is fucking scary.
So scary.
Yeah. It's so scary and you do have to be ready.
Yeah, totally.
So when that, just I want to go back to the pregnancy as well.
Oh yeah, sure.
What mentally, how the fuck are you feeling knowing that you had that operation, you're having a growing a child?
Yeah, yeah.
Because me being pregnant now, the first stages of pregnancy is fucking terrifying because you're like, they're not moving. Are they alive? Like what's going on?
Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's actually a really, really isolating time.
Yeah. Yep.
I found it isolating and I wasn't even in lockdown.
Yeah.
It's scary, mentally challenging, and you're just constantly wondering if your baby's okay and alive. You're doing that in lockdown and you had a serious condition. Mentally, how the fuck are you?
Yeah, look, I think it's I was not myself because me, normally, I'm an over-researcher. I research everything. Uh-huh. I'm a little bit of a closet nerd. I really enjoy, you know, reading ingredients. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is like, this industry is meant for me because I love researching ingredients. When it comes to food, anything, I love to understand the mechanics of why something is the way it is. And maybe it's my dad, actually. He's a mechanical engineer. Maybe that's why. And I just really like to understand what am I doing right now? And if I'm going for procedure, I used to over-research.
Uh-huh.
This was different. I was very much blocking and faking it till I made it.
Scared?
Or? I was so scared that I thought if I actually start looking into what I'm actually going through and if I start looking into what could happen and going down that rabbit hole of Googling, which I know everyone does, or most people do, I do in normal life, I thought this could really be bad because I am mentally a strong person, but I have my bad days. Mm-hmm. I definitely have had, you know, depressive stages throughout my life. And I just thought this could really send me, like this could really affect me. And so I thought if I just wrap myself in bubble wrap and just, you know, pretend I'm in daisy fields, like skipping through and there's rainbows and unicorns and leave the medical stuff to my professional OB that I've, you know, that I've engaged and let him just tell me what I need to hear. It's like kind of like on a need to know basis.
Yeah.
I left it on a need to know basis and everything else because I thought, I'm only going to be pregnant for the first time once. I'll be damned if I let this ruin my experience. I want to enjoy this. I want to have that. And so if you looked at my Instagram, you know, I do feel guilty sometimes because really all you saw was me like holding my belly and taking a selfie in the mirror or like, you know, look at this cute little outfit that I bought because I wanted it to be special. I wanted to have a beautiful experience. And so I really didn't overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I know everything because I've had the baby and he's told me everything now, my OB, now, this, if I went for a second, yes, that would be very scary because I know
you've got more information.
I know I'm full of information.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was very much none the wiser.
Fuck, you're mentally strong.
Yeah. I'm very aware.
You should be so proud of yourself.
Do you think? Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, as a friend, like,
and you're very aware. Like, I wouldn't have done that. No. I would have been like, no, I'm fucking diving deep. But like, you were so aware of
of how you wanted to feel.
Yeah.
So you wanted to enjoy your pregnancy. You could have been played victim and be like, why fucking me? Why me? But you chose a higher road. You're like, no, I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah. I owe it to myself.
Absolutely.
I owe it to my baby. I owe it to my husband. I owe it to – I just didn't want the experience to be anything other than beautiful.
Mm.
And so I tried to make it that. Looking back, I probably could have like researched a little bit because there were conversations with the doctor that I was very much, oh, that's okay. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's why you pay them.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. Yeah. I thought I'm paying you. You're the expert in your field.
Yeah.
You know, with my corporate job, I'm the expert at what I do. And you know, when it comes to skincare, I know what I'm talking about with that. And if you ask me a question, I'm happy to answer it. But he's the expert in
his field.
Yeah. Delivering babies and getting them from, you know, from this point to this
keeping
point.
Keeping them safe.
Keeping them safe.
Exactly.
I really trusted my obstetrician. He was amazing.
And that's what you want. So, So then speaking about that, you that makes so much sense how you were saying you're a researcher, because I always think, oh, Patrice knows so much about skincare, like, or ingredients and stuff like that. So when you were on bed rest, when was the aha moment that you wanted to start the skincare brand?
So I, like I said, I had all the face issues, all the issues that were going on from sort of the neck up, but I also was trying to make sure I was, you know, moisturizing and hydrating my body, because I didn't want to have stretch marks. And so I wasn't scared of getting stretch marks. I know a lot of that is played into genetics. But if you can keep your body very hydrated and keep the elasticity, you know, there, and make sure that, you know, the body is, you know, moisturized, like I said, then you can help it. And so it's all about, you know, I think they say it's like a, stretch marks are like a lacquer band, or how do you, what do you guys call them? Like a lacquer band. You know, the stretch marks are formed by stretching and then snapping back. And so, you know, when you think about if you pull a rubber band, you see the
oil it up.
You see, if you were to oil it up or to moisturize it, there'd be less. There'd be it'd reduce the amount of, you know, lines that are created, or sort of, you know, whatever the stretch marks are. So for me, I was really conscious of not only my face but my body. And so I was researching ingredients in all of the products I was using for my stretch marks as well. And I found out that, well, I was literally going from my foot to my neck.
Wow.
So I was very well moisturized.
She's oiled up, guys.
She was oiled up. So I was really every day religiously doing it. And I'll be honest with you, it became very, very expensive. Because the things
that— What were you using?
I was on different websites and I was using multiple products. But that's the problem. Everything I wanted was in multiple products. All the ingredients that I wanted. I couldn't find anything in one bottle.
Doesn't J-Lo just say use olive oil?
Yeah, maybe.
Gross, but you don't want to smell like olive oil.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I think about when I cook for my Greek husband, and wouldn't want to be
walking around. People swear by it. Really?
Yeah, I'm sure there's something to that.
Yeah.
Like it's a good carrier oil, and I do see a lot of products that have the base of olive oil. So I'm sure there's something to that. I don't think I had olive oil in my home brew, but I definitely was researching ingredients. Anyway, long story short, I had a friend that knew a manufacturer, and I said, can I just literally make a 1 liter bottle of this, of all the ingredients that I need? You just create it the way you need to create it, and then I'll just like tip that on myself every single day, and it won't cost me
as much
$1 million by longer. The end of this pregnancy. And he did. He just made this big batch. It was not in a pretty bottle. And I was religiously, maybe in the future I'll release this product.
Yeah.
So that, I know that that sounds quite strange, because I've released, maybe the listeners don't know, but I've released a brightening serum. But that was one of the issues that I had. So it was both the stretch marks and all of the different things going on with my face. Yeah, so I decided to make that, and then through that I just fell in love with formulation and researching ingredients, and, you know, coupled with my love for beauty, wellness and skincare, I just thought, hello, this is something I feel really excited about. And that's when Ophia was created. So yeah, and Ophia is also Sophia, my daughter. That's just dropped the S, so that's how the name came about.
Do you have any stretch marks?
I don't.
Oh, well, there you
That's
go.
Good. I don't. But like I said, a lot of that can be genetics.
Yeah.
So it's not all about just hydrating.
To be completely honest with you.
Do you, Tully?
I don't have any stretch marks.
Yeah, right.
And I have not been oiling religiously.
Yeah, there you go.
I do it like this is what
twice
I'm saying.
A week. Yeah. So there you go. So it's very much the elasticity of your skin.
So then what made you, I don't know, your first production run like minimums or anything, but what made you be like, oh no, maybe I can go into a production run of like, say, 500 bottles?
Yeah. So look, it was, I don't want to sit here and say like this was a very sophisticated process of starting a business.
This is why people, I feel like, have the fear of, and they don't jump in and do it, because they think you need to
be
know.
Perfect.
Or like,
right.
Everyone in business is winging it.
Every
fucking day still.
And you're still solving problems on the go.
Yeah, 100%. And I think honestly that's the best way to go about it. I think if I had, and at that time, you got to remember, it was middle of pandemic. We just didn't, everyone was in, you know, masks. People were looking like they were, you know, about land on the moon. They were wearing the big suits with the zip up. Everyone was getting tested. No one was thinking, well, people were probably secretly thinking about starting businesses, but you didn't have the resources that you have today.
Yep.
I also didn't listen to podcasts back then, which I wish I did, but I wasn't listening to any podcasts. I was just this is going to sound crazy, but I literally was Googling, how do I start a business?
And then that's fine. And then also, TikTok wasn't around.
TikTok wasn't around. Yeah. Exactly.
TikTok is a great SEO tool.
Totally. But everyone was just fucking dancing on TikTok.
Yeah.
it's not the SEO tool it is now where you can search how to and you get all these videos visually showing you how to
Such
do things.
Such a blessing. Yeah.
But do you know what? Like with starting a business, like I started a business at like 24. I didn't have a business plan, nothing, just had money and went on a plane to Bali to get samples. You don't need to. I think what Sarah was saying before, I think people think that you need to be like so polished and so fucking well educated and stuff like that. Proof, you don't really need
to. Or have an entrepreneurial family, which I did not. Like I come from the country, I grew up on a farm, you know, I was not surrounded by business people whatsoever. In fact, when I went to my dad and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm starting a business." His first response to me was, "Why?"
That's what my dad said.
Yeah.
But my dad was like, why? Did you waste money?
Why? You've got a job.
Do you know the common thing I see with people that start a business is they are so passionate and they really have a belief in what they're doing.
Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to genuinely, because the thing is that it's really hard to maintain passion and excitement and focus when you're doing, especially when you're alone. You know, I don't have any other staff. It's really me, and I have my people that I outsource to, but I don't have an office with people. And so it is really me having to motivate myself every single day. I have some people to bounce off, but you know, if you're not passionate about what you're doing and if you don't really believe in the product or believe in what the business is, it won't last. It'll start to fizzle and your passion will start to fizzle.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that has to be the core of it for sure. Yeah.
So when you were starting your business, what was the most challenging thing for you? Like was setting the formula for Ophia? Like one of the main ingredients is hyaluronic acid, isn't it?
Yeah. So hyaluronic acid, niacinamide.
Yeah.
The whole range is targeted to brightening. Okay. And so for me, my biggest issue is brightening. It's bringing the radiance to skin. It's and that doesn't necessarily just mean fading pigmentation or you know, I guess removing things from your skin. It can be just bringing it to life through exfoliation, hydration. So brightening is many different things.
Yeah.
But for me, that was the main concern for my skin type. So really, I just created my own products because I selfishly wanted them and then decided to make a business.
And they really worked.
You loved the product.
Yeah, I genuinely love it. And I, you know, it's something that I use every single day and have seen great results.
We've got amazing skin. So
thank you.
So what was the most challenging thing when you started?
Yeah. So I think the most challenging thing was just getting up and going.
Yeah.
So I think it was just registering a business, boring stuff.
Mm-hmm. The admin stuff,
registering a business, you know, legal bits and pieces, the trademarking, you know, things that were so outside my wheelhouse that I had no experience in. Those were the things that I would stop and start. And I didn't know who to ask. I had no one to talk to.
Those
and
things.
Also at this point, no one knew I was starting a business. And so I was very much keeping it on the lowdown.
Yeah.
And only talking about having a baby, and no one knew I was doing this. And so I was Googling like crazy. And YouTube, I think I did go on YouTube. I think
YouTube was
a good tool. But so it was clunky.
Yeah.
It was very clunky. It was sort of haphazard, and you know, I made it work. The formulation, the skincare side, because I was so excited about that and really enjoyed the process, that was easy for me because I that's what I wanted to do. Yeah. I didn't want to be dealing with legal stuff and registering a business and tax files.
It's not the fun stuff.
No, it's not.
No.
No, but it's a necessary part of business.
Yeah.
What was it like when you got your first sale?
Oh my gosh, I still remember who it was. Thank you. I remember getting really emotional and I forgot to film it. You know how some people do that thing where they prop up their camera and they film like the first sale and then get all emotional? I had all of that. I just forgot to film it.
Did you have a launch day where you're building out the marketing and you're like, this is when it dropped kind of thing?
No, I did. I had my day in mind and 27th of April, and I did work on the pre-launch. So I was trying to build an Instagram profile and trying to sort of get the word out without sharing too much about the product, which worked really well. I worked with some influencers, and so I had a collection of people that I just followed and loved, and you know, loved what they did, and I worked with them a little bit for the launch. And Yeah, it was, again, very, very haphazard. There was no sophisticated formula. There was no, I didn't even really ask anyone, which I think in hindsight, if I could go back, I would have spoken and asked for more help because I think I could have really, I did have the resources at that point where I could have said, Tully, hi, what would you do? Or, you know, how, what would you have done in my, I was too shy to ask anyone for help at that point. I'm not now.
Yeah.
Now I'm.
I think when you first start a business and I think I was like this too. When you first start a business, I think when you reach out for help, you feel like you're failing.
Yeah.
Because you feel like, and especially like for me, when I first started, my dad had the same comment. Why? You've got a full-time job. Why?
Yeah, exactly.
So for me to go ask dad for advice or help, I was like, he's already, no, he thinks I failed already. Why would I ask?
Yeah.
So I think when you're starting a business, it is that feeling of failure when if you ask.
Yeah.
But then once you start running a business, you're like, no, fuck, you actually have to ask for help sometimes because you don't have the answers all the time.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like, I think even now, nearly 2 years, I definitely, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
You never stop. I don't think you ever stop learning.
No,
Absolutely.
Because when you start scaling the business, then you start coming up new with problems. New problems like you would know in with your business. It's just constant learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think you have to humble yourself and you have to, that's the thing I've realized. I've been in my corporate job for 14 years. At this point, I feel confident that I am an expert in that field and I feel confident talking about it and, you know, talking about the subjects of whatever I've been talking about for the past 14 years. This is a very humbling experience because I'm having to introduce myself, talk about something that I'm still, you know, somewhat learning about, which is business, you know, putting myself out there. It is very humbling.
Mm-hmm.
It is very humbling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like what Sarah was saying before, I feel like business owners, we're essentially just problem solvers because there is a problem every freaking day.
Yeah.
The customers, thing, product, anything.
The thing is with everything and with business, the world around us is changing all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
The way we market is changing, the way like integrations happen. So you have to adapt to the way Instagram used to work 3 years ago. It's not the same work.
Right.
You've got a new platform, TikTok. Okay, what do I have to do? So you're always having to adapt.
Yeah, true.
And it's hard because you want it to stay the same. Like you don't want it to stay the same, but you get comfortable and good at one thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, shit, okay, now I need to do this next thing. And it's like you're always chasing.
Reinventing.
Yeah, always chasing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that you need to be open to reinventing yourself constantly because that's the thing. I think when it comes to running a business, how do you continuously keep it interesting for your consumer and how do you continuously evolve, which is where I'm at now. I'm trying to grow the business and I'm, you know, things have taken longer than I thought and I've run into issues that I didn't even know would be issues and that's just business. And I think it either makes or breaks you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know what? Yeah. That part of like the business when you're at that point where you want to have a bit of change, new products, growth, it is so frustrating and so scary, but it's also one of the most funnest parts of business because you can potentially change the direction of where you're going.
Oh, totally.
And I know we were talking about that before. You're like, I'm kind of at this crossroad that I don't know. Do I or like what? It's kind of exciting and fun.
Yeah, I think so. I think when we recently sold out of our serum, which is amazing. And I'm so grateful to everyone that's, you know, been along for the journey. But it's given me an opportunity now to actually just stop and think about, okay, where are we heading? You know, when I launched the business, I was heavily hormonal. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, in the thrusts of growing a child, the chemistry of your brain when you're pregnant is completely different to after you have a baby. I forget that. And, you know, what I liked then maybe is a little bit different to what I like now. Mm. And I can see things in the business, even the branding, bits and pieces.
Feedback
from customers. I literally read every single thing, DMs, messages, reviews on the website, and I write them down and I say, okay, like that's if they've taken the time to write that, that's something we need to change. It's not a question of if we should. We have to change that. That's something that we should change. So I've taken this opportunity, this golden opportunity where the business is, could we just keep driving it forward the way it is, or could we just turn left and just maybe do something a little bit different and improve it and make it look and feel a bit different. So I've just taken this, great opportunity to collect all of the feedback and then move in that direction.
What's up, people? It is that time of week again.
Welcome back to Chemist Warehouse Picks of the Week.
Tally, it's your turn this week.
Oh my gosh, it's my turn. Okay, so I am obsessed with having white teeth. I don't know if you knew that. And since I've been pregnant, I can't really whiten my teeth. So I'm really excited to use this post-pregnancy. But this is from White Glow and it's Optimum Dual Chamber Toothpaste. Now, can you tell me what a dual chamber toothpaste is?
Hey guys, listen up to this. So this is a world first when it comes for teeth whitening. Mm-hmm. This tube has two chambers in it. And once you squeeze it, the two formulations come together.
Oh, wow.
And so you have the most efficient whitening, tooth whitening paste happening. So what generally happens with other formulations is like they mix it together like say 6 months later and each day that goes by the formulations decrease in efficacy. So White Glow have created this dual chamber toothpaste. So you get that highest amount of efficacy possible for the whitest teeth.
And do you know that this toothpaste can make your, well, this one here that I've got, and I think yours as well because they're the same.
They're the same.
80% brighter and whiter, which we love. And this flavor here is ice mint. So sometimes some of the toothpaste can be a bit too burny, but this one is ice mint. And what was the one that you have?
Grape mint.
It's great for gum health. Oh, that's nice. And obviously bacteria and stuff like that. So this is a really good toothpaste if you are wanting to get your teeth whiter, 80% whiter, and it's available from Chemist Warehouse.
Hey, and kudos to White Glow, leading leaders in the industry, obviously. First in the world technology.
Love that. I don't think it's a negative thing at all. I think we all go through that in business. Like,
what's one every of single business? Your favorite quotes when it comes to business about your first product?
Oh, yeah. So if you're not embarrassed by your first product, you haven't done business right.
Like, you launched too late or something.
It's like, so, because I look at the first pants, I'm so embarrassed.
Why? The main label, I remember them.
The main label, wore them. I'm so embarrassed. The swing tag, it was so low. Oh. The front rise, everything. It's so fucking embarrassing.
Oh,
but I still get messages to this
day. But didn't Gigi Hadid wear? Yes. Okay, so they must be okay.
But I get
they
messages to this day. Oh my God, I've been wearing your stuff for like 10 years. Right. I've still got these leggings. They were so cool.
Yeah.
But they say, if you're not embarrassed by your first product, you haven't done business.
Yeah, not you haven't done it. I think the emphasis was you launched too late. Meaning you're trying to perfect your product.
No, it's not that. It's Olivia Burke sent me the – I'll find it. Burke sent me the quote and it's something – it isn't – it's something like if you're not embarrassed by your first product, you haven't just done it right or something like that.
No, I know the quote you're talking about. I think maybe I've seen it somewhere. Yeah. But
you have to remember that because I look back at and I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, why was the main label?
But proud.
That? That's like
proud, how you're proud but a little embarrassed.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's why I'm saying to Patrice, I think this is not a negative part of your business. Don't take it. Like it's so exciting because you have that time to make an even better product.
100%. And I think, you know, for me, the actual formula itself of the product, that won't change.
Yeah.
I know that's great. It's just more about maybe the vessel that carries that product and how can I make this more efficient for our customer?
Yeah.
How can I make this, you know, the whole idea is like, you know, for me, busy mum, want to put on my face. I'm not sitting there doing like, you know, gua sha every day of my life and, you know, lighting candles in the bathroom before I go to work of a day.
Who has time for that?
I'm going to be honest, that shit is not happening.
Yeah.
It is literally me going slap on the face, hope for the best, out the door, right? So I want to make this as user-friendly as possible and also just hygienic. Mm-hmm. There's so many factors. So for me, I'm looking at the vessel, the packaging, but I'm also just looking at the way I'm getting that product from point A to point B. How can that be more, you know, how can we think about the environment in that way and how can we make it a better experience in that way? So it's just I'm literally able to look at every single piece of the business. How can I make it better?
Yeah. Mm.
And so I'm just taking that time now to do that, which I've come around from being like, we have no stock. I'm not selling anything to now being in a place where I'm like, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I can't wait to relaunch
this. Even better packaging environmentally, like, because I know in the next like 5 years, they're saying that packaging has to be biodegradable, environmentally friendly. So if you change that now, you're already ahead of the game.
Exactly.
So things like that, it gives you an opportunity to get ahead of the game.
Right. And if you can do it, you should do it. Like,
absolutely.
I think so that's something that we're looking at. But it's exciting. It's just a new phase of the business now.
Yeah.
So
will this new phase be out anytime soon?
I hope so. Okay. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, we're so I've already been working on all of the design and all the logistics. We've chosen the packaging. It's just about, you know, it's all the probably the fun stuff, the photo shoots.
Yeah, and like, okay.
You
yeah,
know, cool. All the product stuff. So yeah, doing all of that. So I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, that is fun. And it's fun, so it'll go quicker because it's not like legal stuff. It's no shit that you're
it's not the boring shit. Yeah. It's the fun shit.
What's one of the, like, if from customers, can you remember anything that someone's written like a really beautiful testimonial about your product?
Yes. So the one that always sticks with me, this is it's probably not something I'll explain. It wasn't something that they actually wrote. So I had this customer that was buying it over and over and over, and she was buying two or three at a time.
Oh, wow.
And I was thinking,
wait, is she reselling this?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought she's either A, reselling it, or she's picking it apart and like trying to find. I went to that worst case.
Oh, I've done that.
Which
before.
Is horrible. Yeah. But I was just thinking, why is she buying so many? Or is she just using volumes of this that are way beyond the recommended dose? Like, what's going on? And then, I didn't want to reach out to this customer. I thought that's a bit intrusive, but I was very curious.
So you did a drive-by over?
Yeah, I just drove. Yeah. I just got in the car. Just like
she's really got a secret skincare salon.
I just put a balaclava on and just like in the middle of the night. No. Just watched her in her bathroom. No. I didn't do that. But I, it actually got held up at a depot, and so she contacted me or us to find out where it was. And so it had gone. It had. Said it was delivered, but it wasn't delivered. And so she contacted us. So I thought, okay, I'll take it into my own hands. But here's a golden opportunity.
To us?
Yeah, just for me to be like, how are you enjoying it, you know? And she had her phone number and I emailed her and said, do you mind if I give you a call? I've actually located the package and I can explain it. And she was like happy to take a call. I wanted to ask. I didn't want to just like make an unsolicited call. And I phoned her and I said, I assume you're loving the product. You know, you've been one of our most loyal customers. And she said that she suffered from really bad rosacea, highly sensitive skin. Everything she used would cause a flare up, and she had taken a chance. I'm just so grateful that people take a chance on the brand. Yeah. Like, it just blows my mind that this person from country Victoria that I've never met, have no connection with, to the brand, has found us, bought it, religiously been, you know, an Ophia customer. It just makes me so happy. And I said to her, like, I really appreciate everything that you've done to get the business for us, you know, and obviously just support of the brand. Do you mind me asking what made you how did you find us? And, you know, why do you keep buying it? And obviously you're buying it in such big volumes. And she said, well, first of all, I think she was using a little bit too much. So I said to her, like, you know, go for gold, because you can use this morning and night, and it's, you know, quite a good product for sensitive skin, so it's fine. But she was using it all over her décolletage. She was using it all the way down, all the way up her neck. She was using it morning and night. And she was saying that her facialist had said, what are you using on your face? Because I've never seen your skin as good as it is right now. And she said, I was literally just using that and a very, very, like, you know, basic moisturizer. So she knew that it was my product that was helping her. And I was just blown away, just blown away. Just so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, and when you launch a business, that's like the best thing
that's
you can hear.
That's the best feedback honestly. You can get. And especially something like that with your face.
Confidence.
Exactly. The
confidence
it gives someone to present themselves. They're not trying to cover up their
rosacea. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's really beautiful. Like, anyone that's suffered from skin issues, acne, anything, you know that it's a very depressing time your confidence literally goes down the hill.
It does. And like, this is the thing, I'm a fairly confident person, but when I had all my skin conditions when I was pregnant, I was very much
depressing.
I was really quite shy about it. Mm-hmm. I remember I would like kind of look down or I would cover with makeup, even though I was at home.
Yeah.
I wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I would still find myself covering it a little bit, you know? Yeah. And I think if you can walk out the door feeling confident in your own skin,
absolutely,
putting your best face forward, like, you just, that's the best feeling. Yeah. So the fact that I could, you know, the brand could help her do that, that was for me just like tick, tick, tick.
Story.
Like, that's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And actually, she was the one that made me think about the packaging as well, because she was, you know, when she was talking about the volume that she was using, I'm like, I want people to be using it all over their décolletage. I want, so we're looking at the volume as well.
It's like a bigger
looking bottle. How we can maybe give back to the customers. And I'm not saying that we're going to, you know, I'm trying to look at different ways that we can help our customers out and give them a bit more than what they're used to. So
it's, as a small business as well, it is so nice when customers take time out to email you.
Best.
Yeah. Well, like, she had a missing package, so I think.
Oh, true.
I fed it out of her. But she did leave it. She did leave a nice review afterwards.
For, like, Tull handles all our communications.
Yeah.
And Tell's day was made the other day because someone was like, hey, I just bought your leggings.
First time customer.
She was, I still haven't read the email, sorry, but I'll tell you what she said.
No, yeah. Because I deal with customers every day mm-hmm. and you only really receive really shit emails from customers if their package is missing,
not satisfied.
I'm like, that's got nothing to do with us. It's Australia Post. Like you'll get it. We all get it as business owners and they take it out on you or could be anything. It's always annoying negative emails. 100%. And you never get nice emails being like, oh my God, I love your product. And the other day we had a girl email us. And she's like, hey, I've a first time customer of Tally Lou, just bought your leggings. I'm absolutely obsessed. You're now got a customer for life. Aww. Thank you so much. And I read it and I was like, oh my God, that's made my day. Mm-hmm. I wrote back to her and I was like, thank you so much for taking the time to email that.
Yeah.
And I said, thank you for taking the time. A lot of people don't send positive emails. It'll be like chasing parcels and stuff. I was completely honest with her.
Yeah.
I said, thank you so much for taking the time. That's made my day. Really appreciate you.
So nice.
And she wrote back and she's like, that's okay. Thank you so much. You've got a customer for life.
That's the best. That's the best. I actually met a customer the other day.
Oh, that's cute.
I'll be honest with you. I couldn't have looked worse. And I might have been yelling at Sophia for like trying to pull a clothes rack down or something. So, you know, when you're caught off guard and you're just like, they could have looked a lot better, the situation like that I was projecting. But she took the time to actually come up to me.
So nice.
I was like, hi, are you, you know, and I've been using your product and told me a bit about her experience. She's like, that's my sister over there and I've told her to use it as well. Mm. And she just bought one and she gave me a bit of a wave and like it was just the nicest feeling. My husband said I was a little bit awkward. he said I got really red. He said that I had really red cheeks and I also hugged her, which I don't know if that's appropriate behavior post-pandemic, but I was just like, oh my gosh, give me a hug. Get in here.
Do you want an autograph too?
No, autograph. I was like, just get in here.
What are you doing Tuesday? Do you want to come over for dinner?
We are friends now, whether you like it or not.
No, but if you get caught off guard, I get that. But that's so nice.
I was so touched. I think I was just…
You were shocked.
I was a fan of her and I became a fan. I was just like, oh my God. Tell me everything.
But she's a fan because she gave a good feedback.
No, I was a fan as in like just I became a fangirl of her. Like I was very giddy.
It's the best feeling ever. Very giddy. I often say that. People that have the balls to approach someone.
So good.
I said that to Sarah after the email. I said, like, I think it was you that I said, or I did a TikTok about it. And I said, this has actually given me a sign that I need to do this more often to businesses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I'm talking to someone, like, oh yeah, I love your product, but I never take the time out to write an email or a message. It's given me the sign that like I know how good it makes me feel.
Exactly.
Why shouldn't I be passing that on to someone else?
It's the best.
They might be having a day where they're like, I'm ready to give it in. Like I've had I think my product's shit, done this. And then to have someone be like, oh no, actually your product is amazing.
Yeah, it's the best. It's just so, it's so nice. Like I think A, she didn't have to buy the product. B, she didn't have to buy it again.
She didn't have to come up
C,
to you.
C, she didn't have to refer her sister. She didn't have to come up to me. Like all of these things. And it's funny because that day, I'll be honest with you, I was having a bit of a shit day.
Exactly.
I was like, you know, my 3-year-old was doing my head in. I was just, you know, a bit frantic. I think the lady said I couldn't refund the product or something like that. These are first world problems. But I think also just with the business, I was in a bit of a funk too because I was just like, oh, you know, this is before we'd decided what we were going to do, which direction we're going to take. And I think it was like a couple of weeks before that point. So I was very much like stuck in, I just felt like I was stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are we going? And seeing her and her feedback and just how lit up she was talking to me. I was like, okay, like let's do this. Like let's really like keep this going. This has really given me, it was like putting fuel in the tank.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like feeling. If anyone's listening and you don't have a business and you do use a product that you actually generally love, take the time out to tell the business owner because it is such a nice.
It's even if you see someone who's walking down the street and you want to give them a compliment.
Yeah.
Exactly what you just said.
Do it.
You don't know how they're feeling that day.
I know.
And that might be the fuel that gives them like the energy to get through their
100%.
Day.
Absolutely. You just really never know what anyone's going through. And I think people assume business owners are very like very steady and very together and they've got, you know, they know what they're doing every single day. It's just not the case.
No, it's not. And it's funny, like I caught up with someone who has a Melbourne-based business at the start of the year on holidays.
Yeah.
And I look at her social media and she's successful. I look at her social media, I'm like, fuck, she's so happy. She's killing
right,
it.
Right.
End of last year, she had a massive breakdown. Done. Don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready to tap out. And I was like, that's so funny you say that, because I had a similar situation happen with me. I was ready to tap out. Done. Yeah. And then we sat down and we actually spoke about it, and she made me feel better. I made her feel better. And exactly. I'm like, why as business owners are we not open?
Totally.
Like, we're just, you see people's Instagram, and I try to be as, I don't know, honest and vulnerable as possible. Yeah. But when it comes to business, you do shy away from telling people the actual truth sometimes. 100%.
I think sometimes showing vulnerability in business, some people equate that to I'm failing or my product is no good.
Yeah.
Which is not the case.
No.
They're very separate things. They're separate. And I think showing vulnerability is actually a beautiful thing.
I think so, yeah.
And like you said, it can open up conversations. It can help other people. Talking about my medical issues before, I don't like talking about stuff like that. But I just think if I can talk about it, maybe someone will go get a pap smear.
Absolutely.
You know, and so sometimes showing that vulnerability
It made me think, just sitting here, when was the last time? I was like, it was last year. End of last year, and I'm like, cool, got the thing in the mail. But then I'm like, fuck, they did say 5 years, you're good for 5 years.
Yeah, and on that, look, I think obviously always speak to your, you know, medical professional that, you know, about this sort of stuff. And I'm not saying that I'm, you know, in any way, shape or form medically trained or have all the information. But I will say that they're there as guidelines. Mm. So cervical screenings are guidelines. If you want to, you can.
You can, yeah.
You can go get checked. And I'm not trying to scare anyone. I really am not. Like, it's just feel empowered to go and look after yourself.
And you know your body. Like, if you feel a bit off, you know.
Go and get it checked.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a question as a friend, because I actually don't know the answer to this.
Yeah. Hit me.
your social media, did you have a profile before Ophia, or that came with Ophia? Because you're a content creator too.
I forgot that one when I was introducing myself.
I was going to say, but I didn't want to say.
Do you know why I didn't say it? Because I don't know how to introduce it. So is it content creator? What is
I used to say influencer, and one person said, that guy at Pixel Boss, he's like, why you, not that influencer is degrading, but he's like,
totally,
why are you degrading yourself by calling you an influencer? You're a business owner, and I was like, oh, so now I use content creator.
But see, there lies the problem. I don't know, like, I'm sure he's great, but there lies the problem, is that, like, giving the,
he's a lot older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think putting the ick on it, like trying to say that doing whatever you feel passionate about or whatever's putting food on the table is giving someone the ick.
Yeah.
Like, I've changed my mentality with that. I literally just don't know what the name is for myself. That's something, I'm not saying that there's an ick with influencer. I just don't know what to call myself. Mm. I think it's content creator.
Yeah. I think content creator.
Content creator.
But I say this to Sarah all the time. We're all influencers. Like, Sarah will have, like, for example, Sarah started having this smoothie at this place that I've been going to forever, and I always have, because I'm a
Did you influence her?
She influenced me on this other flavor.
Oh, you influenced Tully.
I influence her all the time.
No, so that's what I'm saying. Everyone is an influencer in some way. If you're making money from influencing someone or you're not, everyone's an influencer. So I feel like content creator.
Do you know Tully's exact words when I influenced her? She was like, oh, you fucking always do this. You always pick better than me.
There you go.
I fucking hate that.
So you can influence someone into, like, a menu choice at a restaurant. So you're an influencer.
Everyone's an influencer. Yeah. But I feel like we create content for money.
I'm taking that back. You create content, but there's a value exchange for the brand.
Totally.
There's an exchange. Like, you're creating content for them to use and for
marketing
publicity
and
for their brand.
Right.
Your network.
Yeah, that's right.
There's an exchange of value.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I think we're in an interesting position, the three of us, though, because we look at it from both the brand side and then also from the content creating influencer side. So when I'm creating content for brands, I'm doing it in the way where this is the sort of content I would want for my brand. You know, I'm thinking about, how am I going to put this product in the best light?
Yeah.
You know, and provide as much information and be as educational as I can, that kind of thing. To answer your question, profile, I wouldn't say, like, I feel funny about saying profile. I don't know what level is a profile, but I don't think that
If you're on Instagram, you're a public figure, you've got a following.
A little following, yeah.
No, but engaged following.
I think the people that follow me It is engaged.
Was like, it ever, you know, since you had Sophia, or did you?
I've always really enjoyed taking photos and creating content before it was a thing.
Yeah.
I remember when people really did give it the ick. You know, when it was like, oh, why are they taking a photo of themselves? Yeah. I was doing it then. Yeah. I remember being like, oh, I like this outfit. I'm talking just after, like, MySpace.
Yeah, like it would have been Eve days.
Yeah.
And we used to put Eve it up on, yeah, we used to put up on Facebook fucking albums.
Oh my gosh. I still have those albums. They're just, they've got a lock on them. You can't look at any of them. But I have I dove in actually to have a look at my natural hair because I've got some highlights and I wanted to see my natural hair color.
What is your natural?
It's just black. It pretty much looks exactly the same. But I was curious to, like, what my hair looked like, you know, 15 years ago. I was like, how can I look? I have to go into the old albums. And it was all the photos from Eve.
That's probably Lauren Zerboss's album. Remember she set that fucking submarine camera? Do you remember that? Oh my God. And she used to, remember back in the day, and you used to take all these photos and then just put it up on Facebook.
They were the best days.
They were so fun.
They were totally, everything was just, this just happened, here it is.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember the days, like I remember in 2010, I went to America with my girlfriend and we met Paris Hilton in a nightclub and it was on a Canon camera. I was so excited to share it with the world that I went and found a place where I could get the USB and I plugged in my bloody camera and then I downloaded it onto a friggin', I think a chip or something, and then I went on my MySpace and I uploaded them. We just met Paris. Like the effort that we went to in those days should be, we need to be applauded for that effort. We didn't get a pat on the back.
Got it easy.
Mate.
Wait, I just had a memory. This is so random.
We should be having a pat on
the back. I saw you in LA at Whole Foods once.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
We were with Amelia.
Yeah, that was in 2000. Oh, God. That was my 30th.
I remember that. I just had a break. I was like, fuck,
I remember.
Yeah. I don't know if you're in Whole Foods.
It's blurry, but I remember it.
I remember
being like weirded out by it. I was like, is this happening? Fuck,
yeah.
Yeah.
I just had that memory
of all places to someone.
Sorry. I just remembered that then. I was like, that's random.
That is random.
A long way.
So you've always been a bit of a gal with a following.
A gal with a following. Been a gal.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I think I've I don't know. I get embarrassed.
Why? I don't know. Don't be embarrassed. You're styly.
Thanks.
You're styly. Your skin's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think I've always really enjoyed creating things.
And outfits and stuff.
I love fashion. Yeah. I love putting things together and like sharing where I bought something. Before it was something that was monetized is probably the best way to say it. I just loved sharing in general. And to be honest with you, I still do that even outside of content creation. I just like sharing.
Yeah.
Just a gal that likes sharing.
I've got a question. I'm obviously about to birth this child. And when this episode comes out, I will be a mum.
Oh my God.
But what would be your advice to me and anyone listening? How do you balance? You obviously have your corporate job. You have a business. Yep. You have a child. Have a husband. I'm not married yet, but how do you balance that all? Can you give me any advice?
Yeah, like I think, so when you were speaking before about how you went through a bit of a hard time, I went through that June last year. I was in complete burnout mode and I was trying to be perfect at everything. Mm. The best mum. I think I am the best mum to Sophia. I think I'm the best mum for Sophia.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to be perfect and I'm okay with that now. Then I wasn't. I wanted the house to be spotless. I wanted, you know, clothes to have no wrinkles. I wanted to have the business ticking along nicely, you know, Instagram with my photos up, everything. But the reality is that I'm only one person and the thing that's going to be sacrificed is my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that is going to work if my mental health is not good, right? And so I've realized I don't have to be perfect. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can come here with 3-day old hair.
I love that. Yeah.
I don't have to get a fresh blow wave. I don't have to wash my hair.
Your house doesn't have to be spotless.
It doesn't have to be spotless. The thing is that you can still be a good mum and not have the house spotless. And so for me, I've just learned to do the best I can and to take the time to actually just focus on me as well.
Because
you need to actually, outside of being a mum, you need to be telly.
Yeah.
You need to have your identity. So I think it's just taking time.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I'm really terrified of is losing my identity and just being a mom.
But do you think I'm different to the girl you met in 2009?
No. Sometimes I forget you're a mom.
Yeah.
No, it's not like that. No, but having a conversation now, it just feels like 15 years ago.
That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and that's one thing I'm scared about. And then so how do you balance the work on top of that?
It looks like a shit show.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. Like I think if anyone came into our home, they'd be like, whoa, it looks a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's fine. I mean, look, you know, it's me on the computer doing my Afia mm-hmm. and, you know, working on new packaging. And then next minute Sophia's like throwing puzzles at me and going, play with me, mummy. Yeah. And then I just stop, put it down, give her some attention. We hang out. And so it's just for me, like it's very stop, start, stop, start. I think that's why I was reflecting on why didn't I do this when I was 23? Because I could have, I think about if I had just full days where I wasn't stopping,
yeah,
how much I could achieve.
Yep.
Now it's very, you know, I will be working 8 o'clock in the morning and then at 9:30 I'll be taking a break because, you know, I got a call from Sophia's daycare and she's not feeling well. So I'm going to pick her up.
Yeah.
And then I'm with her for the next 5 hours and then I'm picking it up late at night to go fix whatever I was doing earlier in the morning. So it's not – for me, being a mum and working multiple jobs, it's not like I have a 9 till 5.
Yeah, it's just multitasking.
It's very multitask, very much multitasking, very much stopping and starting, but I'm still getting it done.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, you can actually do it all.
Oh my God, this is the best advice I've had so far.
It just looks different. It doesn't look like a 9 to 5. That's the thing.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm about to ask.
You're welcome.
No, seriously.
No.
Tells a bit of a routine person.
Yeah, I am too.
Okay. I feel like we're the same.
Very much.
So then how does that – do you have a routine or like you just said, you kind of just got to go with it?
Yeah, so it's loose. It's a loose routine. What gave me – some issues last year in terms of me being mentally happy was trying to fit into a perfect routine.
Oh.
So I had laid out the way I wanted my week to look and how my days and what I wanted to achieve and how I wanted to continue going to the gym and how I wanted to, you know, wash my hair. I know that sounds
good. Yeah.
Like, washing hair is a big job.
Especially when you've got a child. I have to time it. I'm like, if I'm doing hot Pilates that day, I'm not going to do hot Pilates that day because I washed my hair the day
before.
It's
a big job. Yeah. We need to speak more about this.
Absolutely.
The hair is a big job.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyway, I for me, I had how I wanted it to look and I was really trying to fit it into that and make mm-hmm. it look like that. And that was the problem. Now I've just come to terms with the fact that I can have my loose routine. I can set my goals at the start of the week and know what I want to achieve and I'll still get that done. I will. I always get it done. It just looks different.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice too.
It just looks different.
Yeah. I said that to Damien the other day. It's like my days like won't go to plan every day. Like obviously at the moment I'll have things written down. I'm like, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at this place that time, whatever. I said to Damien the other day, I'm like, I have to learn to accept that my days are not going to be what I expected.
Yeah. They look a bit more frantic.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing is that they look just a little bit more cray-cray than I ever thought it would.
Yeah. I think you just gave me really good advice because I'm getting a little bit frustrated with people be like, you're not going to be able to do anything.
You totally can.
To do anything. And I'm like, I don't want to say because I'm not a mum yet, but I'm like, I feel like I can still get it done. If I have to get up at 4 a.m. a little bit earlier, or if I have to stay up a little bit later, or if I have to do something, or my sister comes around, I'm going to get stuff done. It's just going to look different.
There is some sacrifice. Like there are little things I will admit that there are things I probably would like to do. I would like to sit and do my skincare. And like I said earlier in the show, light a candle. I'd love to light a candle. Mm. I would actually love to do that. But is that reality?
No.
No, it's not. You know, am I eating food in the car, driving Sophia to daycare? Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I would like to sit at the dinner table and eat that. You know, there's just little things that, you know, everything's on the run.
Yeah. Now. And I said that's another thing I said to Damien. I'm like, you know what? I would love to be that mum that's going to be able to get up at 5 a.m. every morning, go to 6 a.m. Pilates while you have her and I come home at 7. But my life's not going to look like that. If I have to do a fucking 20-minute workout in my lounge room instead of going to a Pilates class, that's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah. Or at different times of the day.
Exactly. Like, even skip a fucking day. I'm like, my days are just going to be different.
And that's the thing. Like last year when even Pilates, for example, I used to book my Pilates every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I'd get stressed about, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make that session. I'm going to, you know, how am I going to get there?
Yeah.
Now I don't do it. I don't book it. What I do is in the morning I have a look at my schedule. I say, okay, oh, there's a gap. There's a little gap. I'm going to fill that with something.
Yeah.
And it will be Pilates. So I'll book it late.
Yeah.
You know, if you can do that. So for me, it's just, I try not to over plan because then I feel like I'm failing.
Yeah. I think that's good advice.
So it's just have an overarching plan of what you want to achieve and then slot it in where you need to throughout the week to get it done.
It's actually really good advice. Thank you for that. Because like I said, it's just...
I just feel like you are just going to roll into this and it's just going to be such a natural... I just feel that you are going to be a naturally amazing mum.
Oh, I hope so.
You will.
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that? No, you will. You will.
Yeah, no, I hope so.
You will.
Yeah.
You've got all the tools and I just think like I don't think you need to overthink it.
Mm.
Like I think for me, obviously I didn't overthink it because I was trying to like pretend nothing was happening.
Yeah.
But with that being said, there's something to be said about that. Going into it just positive and open to your life will change, mm-hmm. but it is, I promise you, for the better.
Yeah. And I've come to that conclusion. I'm like, it's just a new chapter. Just yeah. looks different.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's gonna
be amazing. We all go through chapters. So. Yeah.
So 3 more weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then when this comes out, she will be a mother.
Exciting. So exciting.
Where can everyone find you, Patrice, on Instagram, your business's website?
Yes. So my Instagram handle is Patrice Douglas. So
yep.
Patrice Douglas. And then my business is Ophia Skin.
Mm-hmm.
So www.ophiaskin.com.
And you have Instagram.
And I have Instagram as
well. It'll be in the show notes as well.
Yeah,
we will
be in the show notes.
And that's yeah, that's
where are you having a wait list or anything on your website?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we've got a wait list. Hopefully it's not too long of a wait list.
Yeah.
But I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to see to
get
what
one
you
to
do.
You girls,
yeah.
Oh, I loved.
Oh, you guys have both tried it, haven't
you? Yes. I keep going to buy, but because I'm pregnant, I'm not using, I probably should be using it, but I've gone off all the products that I've
that's
been
okay.
using.
You do what's best for your skin, but whatever you feel is best
yeah.
for your skin.
Tully tells me what I need to put on my skin.
You have amazing skin.
Thank you. I don't do
you
much.
You guys.
Yeah.
Have we got good lighting around us?
Yeah, it is the lighting in here.
I'm excited
I've
about
actually
that.
Been lucky with pregnancy. I did get really bad dermatitis. Dermatitis?
Yeah, that's another
around
one,
my fucking nose.
Yeah, that's common.
Oh my God.
That's really common.
It's kind of gone down now, but I had skin needling and it got worse. And I
flared
was like,
it up.
Yeah. And I was like, shit. And she messaged me and I was like, oh, it's actually really bad.
You have to be careful with melasma as well and skin needling.
Oh, I didn't get melasma.
Melasma can just lie dormant and then you can aggravate it and then it can spread. So if you're ever getting skin treatments done, I really recommend seeing a professional that knows what they're doing.
Wait, is melasma the same as pigment? Pigmentation?
So pigmentation is the overarching term, but you can get different types of pigmentation. So melasma is more hormonal based.
Yeah.
Which is why when you're pregnant, you get a lot of melasma. It's the hormone increases and flushes up and down. And then you can get post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, which is like acne, the little scars that are left over. And then you can get sun damage pigmentation.
That's what I had.
Which is what I have.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still fighting it, but I had it really, really bad. And that's I was a solarium baby.
Yeah, well, I had it too.
Terrible.
I had to go get that.
I'm ashamed.
Not Fraxel.
Yeah.
A intense laser. I had to have like 4 sessions to get rid of it. Same. Solarium.
Were you a sun lover?
Yes.
Yeah.
Never used to put sunscreen on my face.
We didn't have the education we have now.
I used to go in the solarium for like 20 minutes and put accelerator all over my body.
Me too. It
makes me feel
horrifying.
Sick.
It's horrifying. I think back to those days and I just have I don't regret things in life, but that is one
thing
regret
that
I regret.
Yeah. I never used a solarium in my life.
But
good on you.
Would go out in the sun with no sunscreen.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, we're all
the Australian sun is
skin like
yeah.
It's really, really bad. And that's why I had to go get the intense laser to get rid of it. So now I'm terrified of putting my face in the sun.
Oh, me too. I'm that girl.
Yeah,
Like I have an umbrella sometimes.
I saw that at the beach the other day.
I am sunglasses, hat. You know,
I loved you at the beach with your umbrella.
With my umbrella.
And you're like, I'm that girl.
Because
I think I was like,
I'm that bitch. Because we forgot that tent that all the parents have. We usually bring our tent to the beach and we forgot it. So I was like, who's got an umbrella? I'll just sit underneath that. I'm just really afraid of the sun.
Well, especially when you get older, you spend so much money on skincare, skin treatments.
Yeah. And just skin safety. I just think we cannot be silly.
Yeah.
Anywhere, but it's in Australia. We just sun safety is everything to me. And I think it's just really important that
agree.
We protect ourselves.
We've all got great skin, so I'll give that credit to all of us.
Yep.
Yes. And Ophia.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming
you.
On.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For having me. This has been amazing.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Guys.
Thank you.
It's us again. We're back.
It's Tully and Sarah. And if you don't know, we have an activewear brand called Tully Lou.
And we have Australia's favourite leggings, but not only do we have leggings, we've got hoodies, we've got outerwear.
We've got everything that you may need for an active lifestyle. So we want to give you guys an offer if you've never shopped at Tully Lou or if you've shopped at Tully Lou
and you just want $15 off your next order, you need to take this offer and it's TL Cherry, all caps, all one word, and pop that in at checkout and you will get $15 off.
So head to our website. It's www.tallylou.com or head to our Instagram, stalk our page, use the code and let's get you all in some TL.
And welcome to the family.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.